In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Father Peter Gilquist of blessed memory, before he became Orthodox, had become dissatisfied with the worship environment of his particular church. Worship, in his experience, was heavily slanted to intellectual knowledge and study at the expense of other essential parts of our humanity, heart, soul, and body. In the late 1970s, Peter Gilquist authored a book titled The Physical Side of Being Spiritual, an attempt to promote and rekindle physical aspects of worship in his particular church body. In his research for this book, Peter Gilquist stumbled upon Orthodox liturgy and began his historic journey into the church. There was one Old Testament miracle that really stood out in Peter Gilquist's hunger for the physical side of grace and kept him inspired throughout. This story comes from 2 Kings. Certain villagers of Israel were just beginning a funeral for a fellow who had died, and wouldn't you know, at that moment, an invading band of soldiers show up, interrupting the funeral. So the Israelites quickly take the corpse and throw him in the nearest tomb. The story actually says they toss him in. The tomb happens to be the tomb of the prophet Elisha, who had died 1 year previous. Well, wouldn't you know, as soon as the corpse touches Elisha's bones, the man rises from the dead and stands up. Here is a miracle, an outpouring of grace through physical touch. Very little intellectual process going on. Maybe some heart through a burst of fear when those Moabite soldiers were coming over the rise. But there was no study. There's no theology, there's no understanding, nothing that could be explained. It was grace happening through an experience, in particular, an experience of touch. And grace in one of the most profound ways in our human condition, the resurrection of the dead. For Father Peter Gilquist, he could not get past the hunger this story left inside him for a physical connection with God. As if to confirm this miracle of life-giving physical touch, we are given a story today in Luke's Gospel of Jesus approaching a funeral procession. Jesus and a large and happy and boisterous crowd are heading into the city of Nain through its gate. Jesus, having just healed the centurion's servant from a great distance, and everyone's excited, and they're celebrating, and they're noisy. And then you have this slow, mournful procession coming out of the city to the cemetery. A woman who'd already lost her husband, and now lost her only child, a son. These two processions could not be more different. And they meet, they practically collide at the narrow city gate, and they stop. And then Jesus goes up, and it says he touches the casket. He touches the casket. Well, Jesus certainly has the power to heal by word alone. I mean, he just raised the centurion's servant from a great distance, right? Jesus can heal by word alone. But here Jesus goes up and touches the open casket itself, showing that his very body is life-giving. And so this deceased son of a widowed mother, at the touch of Christ's hand to the coffin, he rises from the dead. He sits up and he begins to speak. Not too different from the dead man who came into contact with prophet Elisha's bones. When we narrow our encounter with God to just intellectual understanding or study or correct theology or religious rules of engagement that we conceive, first of all, we're putting God in a box. We make God into an object to be debated, a concept controlled by the knowledgeable and dispensed to the less knowledgeable. But second of all, and far more importantly, when we narrow God to the intellect, we lose all the other ways that God radiates the divine presence into life. All the infinite ways that can't be grasped by the mind or put into words, a presence only encountered in the human heart or experienced in the body, in our very flesh. There is a physical side to being spiritual, and God can and is encountered physically, a truth experienced throughout the history of God's people. Now, someone might ask, if God is so mysterious, so non-physical, how can I, as a physical being, experience God in a physical and tangible way? Is it even possible to touch God directly? Well, the resounding answer of the church is yes. Absolutely yes. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus left us the gift of all gifts, direct participation in his own body and blood. We are consuming in our bodies a meal, and yet these basic foodstuffs, while retaining all their physical qualities, take on the divine nature. And so this physical meal is also a true union with God in the flesh, true participation of the divine nature through physical matter. And of course, we also have physical encounters with God more indirectly, but still physical. We encounter Christ's death and resurrection through the waters of baptism. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through the oil of chrismation. The priest's stole is placed on our head for the forgiveness of sins. And even beyond the more formal sacraments and mysteries of the church, I encounter the divine holding a baby, or walking barefoot, or hearing an orchestra, or seeing the moon rise over Lake Superior, and a million other indirect ways if the eyes of my heart are open to experiencing God through the body. And yes, these indirect physical ways are just as true an encounter with the divine as any other way. Notice when Jesus raised this young man in the gospel, he didn't touch the boy himself. He touched the casket. Still, the boy was filled with life. That is on purpose. That is so that we know that God's grace can happen indirectly through physical touch. God worked through Elisha's bones to raise the man in 2 Kings. The woman with the flow of blood touches but the hem of the Savior's garment. Napkins are touched to Paul's body and brought to heal the sick in the book of Acts. All of these are indirect physical ways of experiencing God. So the question for us, the question for you, how do you encounter God through your body, through physical creation? And perhaps you may have a reliable way or two in which you find God through the physical. Perhaps we can each be open to new or unexpected ways God may enter our lives through creation. But either way, to limit our experience of God to the intellect or some imagined concept of spiritual is to limit God. A different option that the Savior reveals to us in today's miracle is to be open to the infinite number of ways we are invited to encounter the divine with all of our being. Amen.